What's up, guys? Faruqi Bros here, back with another video. Well, actually, not maybe a video. We're going to try something a little different time. And I think what works best is to call it the Built Different stream, you know? And, you know, for the Faruqi Bros, for my brothers and I, this is how what we're all about from the beginning. It's all about doing things our own way, but also seeing what ways to improve and constantly become something bigger and better with each year. And I think one thing we wanted to do this time was to kind of dip our heads into the live stream area of YouTube, so and kind of have that communication with you guys back and forth, and to see some guests that might pop up, see what we can do with this format, play around with different topics, and see where we go. So, you know what? Let me just jump into the good stuff. Let me just jump into the good stuff and talk about the latest news, and that's going to be Wonder Woman 1984. So, if you guys don't know, Wonder Woman 1984 has been announced to go to both HBO Max and on theaters where they're open. I think this is a very interesting idea because it talks a lot about where we are with this pandemic, but also where we are with the future of cinema. And, you know, when it comes to the Faruqi Bros, we've talked about the pandemic multiple times. We talked about kind of where we think the impact is going, where things can go, where things might not go, and kind of the whole nine yards, because this is a big issue, right? And first of all, we're seeing people come through in the chat. So we got our boy Rhyme Slim. If you guys don't know, some of the art that's in his background, he drew it. So he's big time. He's been a designer for us for almost 3 years now, doing a lot of great stuff. So we see you, brother. We see you. Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. So we're talking Wonder Woman 84, right? So we'll go around the corner, our normal format, and start with Zion. What did you think about it when you heard this? Because for a long time, we've been hearing, okay, will they, won't they? Is it going to HBO Max? Is it going to get pushed to next year? And obviously, it's been delayed several times. So when you heard that it finally is getting a simultaneous release, what was your thought on that?
Honestly, I thought it was the smartest decision they could have done. I mean, the outlook on the theater industry and for the near future is bleak at best. I mean, most places still have it closed. If they're not closed, they're only open at maybe 25 or a little higher capacity. So just in terms of if they bank everything on just having it released in theaters, they shoot themselves in the foot. I mean, you saw what happened with Tenet. Though, you know, they try to stay optimistic about that, it could have made way more numbers if they went to maybe a streaming option a little earlier, or obviously if there's no pandemic, it would have been even better. But with the situation it is, I think the best thing they could have done is not delay it even more than it's already been delayed. Because even before the pandemic, it was already delayed like a year. So I think this film just has to come out. And what better time than around the holidays to just release it in theatrical release for people who can't go to see it, and then streaming for people who are home to see with their families in a safe environment as well.
And I mean, it's one of those weird things because it has been this kind of back and forth from the studio. I mean, we know that Patty Jenkins has multiple times talked about how she wants to come out in theaters. She wants to come out in theaters. This is meant to be seen in cinema. And she said it so many times that even her official statement that she put out there on social media, along with Gal Gadot, they both said, see this in theaters where you can. But, you know, and in talking about where theaters are open, well, it's not many places. We're talking about New York City where we're at. It's still not open. And it has been open since March. So if I wanted to see a movie like Tenet, I had to go drive like an hour and a half out from where I live just to see it, right? And this kind of speaks to, now whether you agree or not, that's a completely different thing, but this kind of speaks to the wider thing that where are we out in the world and where are we going, right? And Umar, I know you talked a lot about kind of streaming and the importance of streaming many times in the past, and I think not the importance of streaming, but the rise of streaming and where we go from that point. So when you heard that Wonder Woman 84 is coming to HBO Max, did you see it as a sign that people are going forward and we're going to be actually this is kind of the trend going forward for future films? Or do you think this is a one-time thing as the world gets closer to the next kind of phase?
Well, I think that because of the pandemic, obviously everything has been changed, really. And obviously the entertainment industry is no different than any other industry that's, you know, going through changes. Obviously, the streaming was already on the rise before the pandemic kind of hit. We already had streaming was already something that was really big. I mean, you look at shows like Game of Thrones, the kind of money that show made, and compare it even to like other shows. And so you already had kind of like a feel for, you know, streaming services being on the rise. But with the pandemic and with these blockbuster movies that are, you know, expected to make billions of dollars, well, $1 billion or more, or whatever the case may be, you have, you know, you have a model that they've been, you know, using, but now they gotta what's the word? They gotta like there's a word for it. It's on the tip of my tongue. You guys know what I'm talking
about? No, but
there you go. They gotta improvise. And they gotta show up. So I think with Wonder Woman 1984, the big thing with this is that I don't think this is really going to be a benchmark, because we've talked about on Comic Debate, we've talked about how Wonder Woman 1984 is very unique because it's been done. Like the movie's been sitting in a vault for like months and months, and we've seen every marketing, like the marketing for it has been, like, people are fatigued, people are tired. So I don't think they should really use that as the, like, if they're trying to use it as a measuring stick to see, oh, are we gonna push more like stuff on the streaming service, I think that wouldn't be the best litmus test. Like, it would be better if the Snyder Cut was used as you know, kind of the test to see that market, because we haven't seen a lot of it, although it's been more hyped than a lot of other, you know, movies that would go to streaming services would be. But that seems more like the right thing to look at, like to gauge whether this is something that they want to use. And the industry is going to go that way more just because of the pandemic and what that's going to kind of put into place for the future of cinema.
Right. I mean, and
pandemic, go on. The pandemic's not looking up, especially in America. So,
yeah,
you know, each day that passes, they're just sitting on it, and it's not like it's building up to its release. It's like every day passes and people like forget that it even exists. So, you know, they had to like do something about it, and I think this was the right move for them.
Right, and you see our brother Super Batsy out there. He's been a longtime supporter as well. Appreciate you, man. But you made a good point there. That listen, this movie was actually ready to come out December of 2019, and they kind of punted the release halfway for many reasons. But one of the reasons were that, you know, you had Star Wars, Rise of Skywalker in the same month. It was like, do you want to dodge that competition or not? In the end, they chose to dodge it, but no one could have predicted that starting March of 2020, the world would be changed for the next few years, right? And because no one could have predicted that, Wonder Woman got delayed, because let's be honest, if this was a normal year and it came out in June of 2020, this would have been a $1 billion movie. This would have been the summer blockbuster to watch. So it's one of those things. And Fatima, another great writer for us, just makes the point right here that, you know, why even shift the date? I guess hindsight is 2020, because when you look back, you're like, all right, maybe we could have done that. I'm sure all of them, everyone in the studio would have been like, we should have just stayed put, you know, at the original release date. But hey, no one can predict these things. This is something that, you know, no one was forecasting. And even as far as releasing it this year, just putting it on streaming, from a marketing standpoint, there's only so much more they could have showed. Obviously, they have like a set marketing plan, and they've gone far enough where if they show any more, then you're basically showing the whole movie. So, you either release it now or you're basically just setting yourself up for failure.
Right. And
it's one of those things that, you know, the streaming service, because then look at what's going right for streaming, right? And it's very interesting because the numbers kind of speak for themselves. First of all, streaming was on a rise to take over for years now before this pandemic hit, right? Because look at the net numbers. Just in last year, in 2019, and I'm looking at these digits right now, in 2019, more than 60% of consumers were using streaming. And that was compared to, let me get the exact number, 67% of consumers were using streaming versus 60% who were on cable. So if you look at streaming, I always thought of it as kind of like the little brother of the big giants, television, cinema. And the little brother was streaming. But you look at Netflix, you look at Hulu, you look at Amazon Prime, these earlier streaming services before we got to Disney and HBO era, they're creeping up. They're tapping on the shoulder. They were coming over. And guess what? Even before the pandemic, they beat TV. They beat television. They became, okay, now it's between streaming and it's between films. And then the pandemic hits and the theatrical model just shrinks and basically gets decimated. And so where you are now? So you're at the point where streaming took over, and you look at the numbers that Disney and HBO, both of them said they hit their like 5-year benchmarks. Well, Disney hit their 5-year benchmark right away in this year, and HBO gained 30,000 subscribers this year in its first year, in its first, within the first year launch. And these are great numbers. And Netflix said, like, in their first quarter, they've been surpassing by tens of millions of subscribers what they were originally going for. So all of this goes to say is that the next step of streaming was to kind of take on cinema anyways. And when you look at last year, Netflix was leading, had two nominations for the Oscars, two Netflix movies, right? So these are the kind of things I think about. And now you look at the next step, because we're covering pop culture, we're covering things in pop culture. You look at The Mandalorian, you look at Zack Snyder's Justice League, you see that studios are putting in hundreds of millions of dollars now into big projects with huge IPs to make it happen, which is what we get to. Go ahead.
There's also a point that I think that most people aren't going to really see, but I think that it's also like the theatrical model comes with a lot of strings attached to it. And when you do something on a streaming service, like, it feels like you have the potential to be way more director friendly. Like, you have the potential to really let the director do what he's doing. While the theatrical model, because there's so many other things connected to it, one simple example, like action figures or, you know, like other things that are like kind of connected to it, can, you know, can force your hand, or like a mandate to keep the film under a certain amount of, you know, minutes, because you want to play it more in theaters. Like, all these little things, like, streaming services really don't have, like, they don't have that vibe, that same vibe, right? So I think that's really what, I think that's another place where, for even directors, like, that want to kind of make their name, streaming services is actually, especially now, like, the conversations that we're having now within, like, the circumstance we're in, it could really, I think that, like, a lot of directors are also going to see that, and, you know, they're going to be able to kind of, like, look at that as maybe more attractive than, you know, maybe doing something in the theatrical sphere. Like, there's going to be pros and cons to each situation, there's, you know, so that's another kind of big point.
Right. And I think the next kind of, I think the natural point is that, where are we coming with Black Widow now? Because that's the next superhero movie that people are like, all right, is it going to come out on Disney Plus? Is it going to come out on theaters? We know that recent reports were that Disney was saying we're going to stick for a theatrical model, but then there were some leaks. Whether true or not is a little iffy, but there were some leaks that maybe it will be coming to streaming in April. So Black Widow, Zian, tell me about, where do you think is the right move to go? Like, we're not really out of the pandemic. There's some talk about a vaccine next year, but Black Widow, just like Wonder Woman, has been, we've seen trailer after trailer. We've seen a lot of development and marketing wise, and everyone's getting kind of tired now. So it's like, okay, what's next? What's next? Where do you see as the what's next?
Honestly, it's kind of the same thing like Wonder Woman, if not worse, because this is a movie that should have come out in phase two, maybe, or being in phase three. Like, this is already delayed as it is, not even from a story, not from like a film standpoint, but from a story standpoint. So I think just delaying it further, I think it's already losing money as it is, based on how delayed it's been. This movie should have come out years and years ago. Like, people are losing interest in the character. I mean, she's dead in the universe now, so like, how much does anybody really care about her story? That's debatable, but I think this, for this to keep pushing forward, Disney, I don't know if they're going to stay firm on that. If they're smart, you put it on Disney Plus. Do it like you did Mulan, where maybe you want to do an upcharge, or follow Wonder Woman's model, where if you're a subscriber to the service, you get to see it free, and that will obviously bring a lot more new subscribers to it. I think them waiting for a theatrical release is just film suicide in a way, because it's just going to kill your numbers. Either do a dual release, streaming and theatrical Wonder Woman, or just put it on streaming alone, because banking solely on theatrical is going to kill them.
I agree with that. I think it's a rough outlook, honestly.
I think they're going to struggle either way.
What's up? What's up, guys? What's going on? Appreciate it, Lady Geneva. She collaborated with us on Comic-Con. Good stuff. And then, you know, back, you know, Soup's Batsy, our guy, he's been booking more
great points here that, you know, this was a movie that was a $1 billion contender. I think, Umar, you brought this up. And if it, let's say it did release in Christmas without a HBO Max release, how would it have done? Like, Umar, tell me, how would it have done if it released no HBO Max, just put it out there?
I mean, no pandemic?
No, with the pandemic. As if it came out next month.
Probably not. Like not as well as ever, like, it would have been in normal circumstances. So we got to take that part out. But it could have been, maybe it could have been better. I think it's suffering from the same problem even then, right? That which is that I feel like with Wonder Woman 1984, there is a type of fatigue that the fans have. And I think that's going to make the kind of, it's going to be a slower kind of process. But I think in terms of critical like success, I think it would do well in that regardless, just because, you know, she, even from our end, like we love what Patty Jenkins has been doing with Wonder Woman. It seems like she knows what she, especially story-wise. It's been a, you know, it's been a good ride. So I expect her to do something really good. It's just with everything that's kind of going on, it obviously, like, financially, it's going to take a hit.
Yeah, there was no pathway. There was no pathway for this year. Not in my opinion. And honestly, what Fatima said right now, I think makes a lot of sense, because number one, Mulan did pretty poorly when it released for multiple reasons. But one of the reasons were that that $30 price tag. I mean, Disney Plus did an upcharge, which did just so. I mean, Disney didn't release the official numbers, but from everything we're hearing, it just wasn't that great. And you put a price tag on it when you're already paying $15 a month or $10 to $15 a month for a service, pay an extra $30 to see it early. I don't know. It doesn't work that well. I think Wonder Woman, I think the people at Warner Brothers, they saw the writing on the wall with Mulan. They're like, all right, it didn't work for them. Let's just give it free for our subscribers. Not free, but if you're paying for the service, HBO Max, you're going to get it, right? And it's worth pointing out that it's only going to be in HBO Max for 1 month, right? So the plan is for 1 month, we'll have it on HBO Max, and then it's going to leave. They're going to let theaters, whatever, they're open, people to go see it, and then eventually it'll come on video on demand, right? So it's one of those things that I feel like will do what it does. And I think we can transition to a movie that did come out, because Tenet, interestingly enough, like Tenet, whether we all saw it or not, very few people did in the big scheme of things. It did pretty good worldwide, but it didn't do great domestically. And one of the reasons, obviously, the LA market, the New York market, you're not getting it. You're not getting those two markets. You don't get those two markets, it's not working out. So Tenet, we got a chance to see it, and so did Samir, I'm pretty sure. And, I mean, I don't know. Like, Samir, what did you think of Tenet, number one? But then do you think that Tenet could have been delayed for next year?
I think Tenet was great, and I think it should have been delayed for next year. And frankly, like Fatima said, if Wonder Woman was released during the pandemic, I don't think it would even touch Tenet, and Tenet didn't even do that well. Yeah. So, you know, yeah. In hindsight, they released it early in the pandemic, I guess. I mean, we were still months in, but looking back on it, I feel like they should have, you know, they shouldn't have released it.
I agree with Samir. I think they should.
I mean, Umar hasn't even seen it, but
yeah, I haven't even seen it, so
not yet.
But
no.
I agree that like they could have maybe waited like waited for everything to kind of get as normal as it can, whatever the case may be, and then drop it.
Well said.
I think even delaying it to winter, like Wonder Woman in 1984, would have helped it tremendously. I think, like Samir said, they did release it relatively early on in like the pandemic. I know certain places like New York City, we were like at close to our peak or just passing our peak. So it's like, why are you rushing so much to release this when you know what the situation is in these big markets? And California, obviously LA has been very bad almost throughout for months, honestly, since almost April, March. So it was kind of a surprising move. Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a surprising move on them to rush to release it. If you waited or at least pushed it, not after next year, but to winter this year, to the holidays, it could have done a lot better, at least relatively.
Right, and like our boy Rhyme, you know, like Umar and him are in the same boat right now, you know, missing it. Umar, you're the only one who hasn't been to the theater since before the pandemic, right?
Yo, man, y'all already know.
I told this guy to come with me so many times.
But what was the last movie you even watched? Like, do you remember? Probably Birds of Prey.
Nah, I don't remember what the last movie is. But I mean, I went into it like a nice, like I think it was a 2 months or month and a half where I just didn't leave the house and just at home. So
yeah,
Samir was out here taking risks, like
no, and then even we,
I mean,
even
I'm not in America, so.
Yeah, well, that as well. But even in Canada, I mean, you guys took like extra. There was an extra amount of precaution that was taken on that end. Where for us, you know, we drove out to Long Island to see it. It was the only place where they opened. Even that opened recently, so we saw like 3 months after.
That's because y'all president was tripping.
Yeah, well, maybe some things will change going forward.
Yeah, I mean, to put it into perspective, the last movie we saw before Tenet, which was in November, was in March. So it was that many months. We saw Onward, I think it was. In theaters, that was the last movie. And that was like a week before, like the world kind of shut down. So it was like from March all of November is like the biggest hiatus we've ever taken from going to theaters, I think, in life. So it was crazy to adjust to, like the new norm.
I think that we can transition from here to another product. Let's talk about Zack Snyder's Justice League. I think we're coming off, I guess, you know, the big November 17th. Anniversary event. We're coming off Us United, and we did obviously a podcast on it a few days ago where we talked about Us United in length and talked about obviously the great cause and raising money, and Zach is aiming to raise another $50,000 for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention as the whole fandom inches closer to $500,000 raised in total. So that the big thing about Us United is that the fandom came together, and I think that coming together for a cause is what made the fandom so special. I think that's one of the reasons why kind of seeing the cast come through. And actually, when we were recording at that point, I'm not even sure that Ben Affleck and Henry Cavill put their stuff out. So Umar, tell me about when you thought when Ben Affleck tweeted Us United, Henry Cavill, like that whole feeling like, well, it's real. It's coming out. And like the whole league is down for it.
Well, the cool thing is it just kind of, I think for Zack Snyder and what he actually went through, I think just it showed kind of like all the actors are behind him and, you know, Us United, unity. And obviously when it comes to like the Snyder Cut, I think Zach himself said it best that like, this is the real work. Like, this is like going to save lives. So this is something that is far beyond the movie. And he said many times that the movie's whatever. You know, like the movie is, it's there and we're, you know, he's excited to finish it. And it's probably, you know, a cathartic like experience for him. But, you know, for him and even for us, because we have that kind of background that we come from, obviously this is like, this is going to, you know, this is going to change things, as they say. This is going to help provide some positive change that's needed. And it's going to help, you know, with a bigger, you know, a bigger something that's beyond just, you know, film and cinema. This is, you know, this right. is for life. This is for people, you know, you're out here like doing actual work. So
yeah, it's just like this idea of like, what's your legacy, you know, and what do you do that leaves a mark beyond just when people look back and they say, oh yeah, these fans came together and they released Snyder Cut. Well, that's great, and that's a big part of the story, obviously. But when you add in, and not even add in, when you lead with, oh yeah, these fans, yeah, they campaigned for a movie and they got it out, but they also raised $500,000 on the way to do it. You know, like that's something you hang your hat on. That's something that other fandoms are following. You're seeing the Air Cut fandom is doing it. You're seeing what's it called? Alita, the trying to get Alita 2 out. People are doing it where you attach yourself to a charitable cause and you do the right thing. And I think that's a big part of why Us United was so successful, because all the fans can get behind that. It's a very simple concept to grasp where it's like, we're all doing this so to help save lives. And that's something that the superheroes do. So if you're a fan of the superheroes, you're going to want to emulate them to some degree. And that's kind of where you lead. So let's talk about Green Lantern. Yeah, I think there's been a lot of talk about Green Lantern for months and months, and we're all kind of on, we've talked about the topic a few times ourselves. We talked about kind of Jon Stewart, we talked about a little bit about some guy with Ryan Reynolds. Yeah, we talked about a lot of people, a lot of rumors that were out there, and we can kind of go through it and talk about kind of where we think about what's going next. Obviously there are some reports out there, not reports, but people are putting out there that listen, that Ryan Reynolds is not going to be Green Lantern and Zack Snyder Justice League, mostly because they tried to do something and you know they didn't get that done. It's not a big deal. There's bigger and better stuff on the way. But we also talked about Jon Stewart multiple times on this podcast of how cool it would be if Jon Stewart showed up, right? And I still think that just because there are reports that Green Lantern won't be in the Snyder Cut, I think it's a little early to assume that, but there's also plans. Like, listen, when you put that hoodie out there, when you put the hoodie out there where it says Zack Snyder's Justice League and you see all the logos on each arm, and you see Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Flash, Aquaman, you see Martian Manhunter, you see Green Lantern. So I think it's very interesting that there is something to do with Green Lantern that's going to be going out there. The question is, how close are we to the release? How much time is there to potentially add something in? I mean, from what we heard always was that, you know, our own sources never straight up said, listen, good thumbs up, Ryan Reynolds might be it. But I've on other whispers that are like, hey, you know, this is a guy who's been asked about it. He's been asked about it by the powers that be that, are you interested? And it's all became down to scheduling. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And in this case, because of the pandemic, because of this crunch schedules, because of the nature of things doing things, the nature of things happening, well, of course, it's going to be a different animal. And you know, well, we also know that Zach is very tactful when it comes to these things. Like, he shot Ezra Miller's new scene for Zack Snyder's Justice League through Zoom. So these days, you can do a lot of weird things that you couldn't do. You couldn't get away with it a year before. You can get away with it now. But, Zian, and I'll give you like a quick prompt. Like, if Green Lantern was to show up in the Snyder Cut, the limited series, do you think it will be Jon Stewart? Do you think it'll still be Hal Jordan with a different actor? Or do you think it's something else entirely, like a history lesson thing? Where do you stand on that?
So I think that if they could have gotten Ryan Reynolds, like if all the things worked out, the scheduling and everything else, what other problems might have been happening, it would obviously be Hal Jordan. But I think now that he's not in the film, I don't think they'll recast him. But if they do, I wouldn't be surprised either. But I think there's a higher chance they either just leave that out, Snyder leaves that out, or it would be more like history lesson, like you said. I mean, we know that WB, they have their own Green Lantern, HBO Max show coming out, their own thing. So I feel like they're not going to allow him to touch Jon Stewart. I feel like Jon Stewart might be a bigger part of that than people say, unless they're going to bridge it all together and connect it like crazy. My own theory on it, I guess, is that they probably won't do Jon Stewart in the Snyder Cut. If they do, it'll be probably different, unless they connect everything, which I don't think is likely either. Yeah, same. I mean, a lot of us, we grew up with Jon Stewart. Yeah, all Jon Stewart in Justice League. And Justice League Unlimited, so that's our favorite. And seeing him would be sick as well. But just the chances on that, if they already had Ryan Reynolds in the film in some capacity as Hal Jordan, I think you wouldn't do another Green Lantern then to replace him. You'd just do Hal Jordan himself or nobody.
Yeah, and then Sam Benjamin, I'd cast doubt on any talk about Sam Benjamin, personally speaking. I don't think that was ever in the cards, but hey, people got to do what they got to do to kind of put their name out there, which is all good. Like, there's no problem with that, but I don't think him being Green Lantern, it's a little premature. But appreciate you, man. We love your show as well. Good stuff. So we're talking about Green Lantern. We're talking about let me answer for a question. How often will you guys be streaming? So let's take a quick tangent from Green Lantern. We'll come back to it, and let's talk about what the stream even is, because I think we should have started with this, but we were so itching to go talk about Wonder Woman 84 and streaming that we dodged to this point. But basically, we were thinking about kind of the next evolution for our podcast, for our YouTube channel. Obviously, you guys are going to still be getting all the content that you know from us, from our schedule. You guys know when you get our stuff, when the big news drops, we're going to be there with that punchy 15-minute analysis that you know us for. But we thought that, you know what? We can give you guys a little more time and give you guys a little more extra time to talk to us, make it more interactive between fans, between us who are also fans, and then get our team involved. So these are the kind of things we want to kind of start with this one and kind of see how you guys are engaging with it. Are you guys interested in this? Do you want to see more of it? But we think there's a lot to this model going forward. So then we came, you know, our Umar, who is our marketing editor, he devised the name, right? And Umar, why don't you tell me about the name a little bit? Where you get it from?
Build Different speaks for itself. Build Different.
I mean, the Build Different mentality. That's a mentality when you're Built Different. We've been saying it a few times. You'll see it. I say it on social media. we'll say it. We're obviously big sports guys, so it comes from this love of sports and the mentality you have in sports. You know, when you're going to a championship game, you got to be built different, right, to be able to overcome it. And one thing that we always kind of pride ourselves in is that, okay, we're going to do it our way, the Faruqi Bros way. So we thought, okay, the Faruqi Bros do things differently. Well, then we're built different. So then thus became the stream, the hashtag built different stream from Comic Book Debate. And you're going to be seeing that from us at least once a week. You know, I think once a week is a good way. And then listen, this format, first we got to get some shout outs to the boys who've been putting the work, guys like Dave, the Film Junkie, guys like Chris Wong. They've been putting in the work in this space and they've been showing, proving a pathway that when you're streaming, here's how you engage, here you do that. And we are people who, we're guys who, like, we take from other people. You take from people's game. You know, like, we're big fans of basketball. It's like a term of LeBron. You know, LeBron's going to take a little piece of Jordan's game, a little piece of Magic Johnson's game, and he's going to put it all together and make his game what it is. And one thing we want to say is, okay, how can we improve it? And from seeing how these other fans are doing such a great job with streaming, including our own teammates, people on our team, like the Nerd Queens, Cole and Nana, like their newest stream, the League of Mayhem, right? How they do with that stream, I feel like it's a really cool concept. And I think the Faruqi Bros can add to it, not take away from anyone else, but add to it. And we made sure to pick a time slot that's not going to be stepping anyone's toes. And we're all going to kind of sit together because we talked about this on the Vodka stream yesterday. And this idea that of amplifying voices, but also kind of recognize they're all in a little multiverse of our own, a little streaming multiverse of everyone coming together. So the idea is to build different stream every Sunday night. We're going to have a little chat. We're going to have some fun, talk about the topics of the week, and also get into the next kind of thing. And you never know. Fun guests might show up. That's all I'm saying. Fun guests. And never knew you guys did streams. So, yeah, this is the first one. First one. So hopefully more to come. Yeah. So, I mean, I would agree that, you know, I mean, yeah, it's one of those things that what are the merits of it, right? So when you look at the talk about Ryan Reynolds, it was like, what's the merit here? The merit here is that, number one, this sense of redemption. Right? I think Zach's all about redemption himself, that you want to redeem yourself from one role to the next role. And someone like Ryan Reynolds has already redeemed himself once with Deadpool. It's like, hey, you redeem yourself once, why not do it again? And whether or not it was in the cards or not, well, there were, from our understanding, there was talk about this idea that ask him to come back, because it would have been a very short scene. It would have been only for one scene. This is not like they were going to put Green Lantern in the final fight against Steppenwolf or anything. That's not the case. It was going to be one small sequence to set up the larger universe, because we know with Zack Snyder, it's all about hinting to the future. You had stuff in Man of Steel that directly led to BVS. Stuff in BVS directly leads to Justice League. And then stuff in Justice League leads to the stuff that comes after. And there is stuff that could come after if this thing takes off. And that's a big thing that I want to stress, that the fight for the Snyder Cut is one thing for fans, but if you want to see more Zack Snyder's Justice League, if you want to see more stuff in this world, this universe, because Zack said multiple times now that it's my own universe. So when thinking about the DCEU, that's not this track that we're seeing on HBO Max. So you want to see some new stuff, you want to go there, check it out, because it's going to be cool stuff, but you got to support. So you got to sign up for HBO Max. You got to be watching. You got to be watching old content, new content. See what happens. A lot of fun stuff, because you know that's how Zack Snyder rolls. He brings fun stuff to the table. And you know we're going to be there too, either with his live stream or with our own, of course, regular videos, kind of jumping on that and then adding to that in what ways we can. So we're on Ryan Reynolds. And let's talk about kind of, as we're on it now, let's talk about Justice League 2. Let's say there's not enough time now to add something in. Or maybe Zach does have a surprise up his sleeve. He tends to do that. What would be, do you think Green Lantern is a lock for Justice League 2 if it happens? Zion, what do you think about that? Like, do you think he's a lock for Justice League 2 if he doesn't show up in Justice League 1?
I think absolutely, because anything that Zach feels like he won't be able to fit in this movie, you can be sure that he's going to put it into any of his future projects. Hopefully that means Justice League 2. I mean, this is almost gearing up to be a gigantic success for streaming. The hype around is being built. I think, and as far as streaming is concerned, it's one of the biggest projects ever in recent memory. So just the noise it's going to make, and like the way it's going to just spread, the hype is going to spread when it drops, is going to be something else. So I think anything he couldn't fit in this stream this time in this film, he's going to push the next one, because once fans get to see this and see how it works, this episodic format for this epic saga, they're going to want to see more, obviously. And with the streaming format, easily accessible on your own time, the way you want it, I think it's just going to open the doors even more for Zach following the success of this film.
Yeah. You're muted, Trust.
I think this is a pretty cool point that Ryan is making, that Ryan Reynolds and Ben Affleck kind of getting back into like Hal and Bruce. It reminds me of Justice League War. And Justice League War was directed by Jay Oliva, a friend of ours, and he's jumped on our podcast one time. Great guy, and he directed that movie, right? Justice League War, and obviously based on the story on the comic book from New 52. But that dynamic between Green Lantern and Batman, I think that's one of the coolest parts about the New 52 in general, where those two have this kind of back and forth. They have this kind of like relationship. Where they can kind of, you know, get on each other's backs, but also it's like, you know, it's a good dynamic to add to the team. And I do think that that's a dynamic we might see going forward. And I do agree that whoever Green Lantern is, even though I do think that at this point, John Stewart is someone that we should be thinking about. We should be thinking about what that Green Lantern can do in this kind of sphere. So let's take a second to like think back. Okay, so we're talking about streaming. We talked about Zack Snyder's Justice League. We're talking about the trend, because it's all about seeing trends going forward. So now we're looking forward to 2021 and 2022. And we look at things like the Batman, right? Number one, I think the reason they dropped the Batman, one of the reasons they pushed the Batman in 2022 was obviously to ensure a theatrical release. I think that was a big thing for Matt Reeves, that we're going to wait this thing out. Of course, Robert Pattinson getting the virus, and also other crew members, they had to shut down for a little while, but that's the kind of next thing going on. And right there, I agree with you there, like, you know, like the potential to surprise the industry. I think that's why Warner Brothers is putting this in. I mean, listen, despite the fans putting in great work, despite everyone doing such a great job with Justice League, in the end, the executives at AT&T had to look at it and be like, this will give us money. Right? They were not going to do it for free, and they're not saints. They're going to be like, hey, we're doing this because we're good guys like that. Free, here's $70 million, Zach, make it happen. Nah, they did it because they're like, put in $70 million investment, how many hundreds of millions do we get back, right? And you don't put $70 million in if it's just for a one-time thing. You don't. That's not why you put $70 million into any project. So this is the tip of the iceberg, right? And it's the tip of the iceberg for DC Universe in general, because when you got a guy like Jim Lee, you already know what Jim Lee's been doing. He's been putting his stamp on this multiverse, and he's been basically any good thing that's been happening with the DC film side, it's Jim Lee. You can just give him that credit right there and then, because that's what we're doing. And one of the reasons is that idea of embracing the multiverse, right? Let's tie that as our next topic. Embracing the multiverse, where are the characters lining up? Did I notice something really cool? Because DC put out new artworks for Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Flash. And in these artworks, which is officially on their banners, you check it on Facebook or even Twitter, you're going to see, for Superman particularly, you're going to see Henry Cavill, you're going to see Tyler from the Superman Lois show, you're going to see the Injustice Superman, then you're going to see the comic book Superman. And this is embracing kind of the idea that you have multiple versions of a character, right? But I think this is most important, not for Superman as much as it is for Batman, because Batman is going to have two A-list actors taking on the role simultaneously, because even after Justice League, Ben Affleck is going to be on The Flash, and we already know Robert Pattinson is going to have the role in his pocket for a trilogy, so that's talking about a decade right there. So, Umar, this one's for you. The multiverse, Ben Affleck, Robert Pattinson, do you think that they can coexist? Like, the audience is smart enough now that they can see that, yeah, these are two different Batmans from different universes. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, of course. I think that kind of, they're, like, again, like, the Snyder Cut's coming out much earlier. And obviously the Batman is something that they're probably going to wait to get it out in theaters. And it's always going to be, you know, it's so there's a time difference, right? Which actually could be in their favor, because it allows one thing to kind of go on and then another thing to come as well. But at the same time, like, you have the Michael Keaton stuff. So, like, they're already going all in, as they say. Like, they're confident that, you know, the fans are going to be able to kind of you know, see the difference between the different characters. And the multiverse is a very comic book concept, and a lot of the hardcore fans, this is something that is exciting. Like, this is something where you're gonna, I mean, especially the Flash movies with what they're doing over there. Not only are they trying to get like the two different Batmans in one setting, right? And then also, like, for the fans that want more Snyder, that want more Ben Affleck, you might get that, and at the same time might get the new stuff with that Matt Reeves is doing. It's a win-win at the end of the day. Anybody, like, you would have to be stupid to be like, no, I just want the one, you know, one thing over everything else. Like, that's, to me, that's, you know, that's kind of short-sighted. Like, I don't know why you would, you know, hamstring yourself for more content, right? At the end of the day, we all want more content. We all want to see these characters do their thing. And obviously there's different flavors and stuff, but look, like, at the end of the day, everything can exist in one space. And I think that that's going to help. That's also going to help kind of differentiate DC from Marvel, even though, yeah, we know that Doctor Strange is coming out, Multiverse of Madness. But that's still kind of, it's, you know, like, you're not going to see three different Iron Men in one, or two different Iron Men or Man or whatever in one thing. Like, you're not going to see that. Like, it's something that Marvel hasn't done yet. So you have a chance to actually, DC has a chance to do something in that space, which is unique. I know Samir wants to say something. Go ahead.
What are you talking about? Marvel? I feel like Marvel can go much further than DC can when it comes to multiverse right now, because of how much they've built up so far with their MCU and with Spider-Man.
Yeah, I never said they can. I'm just saying they're not doing it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I completely could not disagree with you more, Samir. I don't know what you're talking about. If you take Spider-Man out of the equation, which, once again, Sony's the rights to, they're just lending Marvel the rights. Marvel, in terms of multiverse, is like garbage compared to DC. DC have amazing versions of every character, basically, all the Hallmark characters. You can do so much more. I mean, this is the time you look at what Marvel has in the future. Aside from Spider-Man and Doctor Strange, because of the multiverse aspect, it is just like a sleep fest. Really, I mean, it is Batman. Like, I personally, dude, what are you talking about? You can have multiple Superman, you can have, like, Batman, CW, you can have multiple Flash also. But I'm saying, I'm saying it.
You want to bring the CW verse in? It's like, why'd you not bring it in?
But I'm saying, on film, you can still, I mean, multiple can exist. Flash, all these kids, different versions of Flash, but DC with this, especially doing something as crazy as bringing Michael Keaton going to the past and bringing those characters back, that's something DC has that Marvel just doesn't, because with the MCU, that's what built them, that's what made them big.
Also, it's a generational thing as well, because Michael Keaton fans that might not be that into, like, the new stuff, you're gonna get them. It's similar to what Star Wars did with the new trilogy that they just had, where you have like multiple different generation targets now. You have an audience that is, you know, very much like, and maybe, you know what, like, I don't disagree with Samir's, like, main thing, which is that if you look at from a potentiality standpoint, yes, Marvel easily, like, if in like 5 years from now they wanted to bring Robert Downey Jr. back and they already had another person in his place and they wanted to, like, do something crazy, because of the way they built their stuff, that's amazing. Like, they could probably do something in that area, but they're not doing that. So,
no, I think honestly, first of all, I take pieces of everyone's argument and I agree with it. But number one is that we've been talking multiple times on our podcast about Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield coming back as Spider-Man. Let's not pretend if we had Tobey, Andrew, and Tom Holland together as Spider-Man standing in live action, that rivals anything DC can put out also. Because, like you said, generational thing, right? You're talking to the people who watched Tobey Maguire growing up, Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3, had Andrew for The Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2, and then you obviously have Tom Holland for now. I mean, that's going to rival anything DC puts out, if you think about it. I mean, just in terms of raw star power. DC, let's say, compare Flashpoint to Spider-Man. Flashpoint is going to give you Michael Keaton Batman, Ben Affleck Batman, some more surprises, I'm sure, and Ezra Miller. A potential Spider-Verse live action will give you Miles. It'll give you the three live action Spider-Man, Toby, Andrew, and Tom, and then probably a really good villain, or bring in Venom. Like, so there is merits to both. Now, I do agree with Zion that it does hinge on Spider-Man mostly. Like, I, because there was not a huge history of Marvel characters, unless they want to do something with Hugh Jackman and bring him in somehow as Wolverine, there's not much you can do.
Which is not happening, so.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. But, well, you never know. But let's just say it's not happening because I think it's very low. The chances are very low. But for Toby and Andrew, chances are a little higher. And when they come back, if they come back, it's going to be a billion-dollar hit in a post-pandemic world. And if this, I doubt it's going to come for Spider-Man 3. The rumors are, but you never know. I kind of, they're holding secretive about it, but I don't know. We'll see. But there is no future, because we know they're going to put Venom together. So there is stuff going on. It's just a matter of what. Appreciate you, Meg. Great writer for our team. Good stuff. We the work she's been doing with us, man, you got to check out Wonder Meg on her own YouTube page. You got to check out her writing for Comic Book Debate. It's top tier. Very, very much top tier. How do we feel about Zack Snyder's Justice League not hitting theaters, considering the fact that Zack is known for making films best to be viewed on the big screen? So, I mean, I can take this one first. I think Zack does have some plans for theatrical release, even if it's very limited. Like, yeah, we're not going to have that experience of the opening night of BVS where everybody and their grandmother were showing up for that Thursday night preview. And watching and waiting for that, like the experience of everyone packed in the theater watching. Yeah, that's not going to happen, number one, because of the pandemic. Number two, because that's not the format the series, limited series, will release. But like Zach said, his main way to see this trilogy would be in IMAX form.
Black and white.
And Umar, take it home from there. Like, what, number one, you can answer the question yourself, but number two, like, I think Zach does have something, some kind of cards on the table.
Yeah, I think that, look, like, it's like you said, so there's stuff that is kind of under wraps. But as far as like viewing it on the big screen, I think when this pandemic kind of cools down, and maybe things start getting back to normal, then, you know, I'm sure that people are going to do fan screenings and other things are going to happen. And I'm sure that attached to what Zach maybe wants to do. I think that's kind of, that's amazing. And I think, yeah, like you said, you're not going to get like the BVS opening night wild craziness that was that, but you'll get something near that. And you never know in the future if there's a JL2 or there's other movies and, you know, things kind of hopefully get back to normal. It'll be cool to kind of see if maybe in the future we get something, an experience like that. But when it comes to Zack Snyder's Justice League, honestly, I would love to see it in IMAX, black and white, which is something that hasn't been done in the space, as far as I know. I think that would be really cool. And I think that would separate it from, like, very unique. Like, that separates it from the other, you know, the other
flicks sure. of
this genre.
For
know,
sure.
You know, I think there's a like, for Batman BVS Ultimate Edition, I think that's more aligned with what this might be. It could do some kind of, like, lottery-type thing or, like, a first come, first serve, where, all right, this many people get into theater and this timing, just come and watch it 4 hours straight, epic film, Lord of the Rings style, or do like a Fathom Events type thing where, all right, you have certain limited showings in these places, you buy a ticket first, then you got it, and like maybe for a weekend or two or something. It wouldn't be dumb for WB to make that move or do that as well alongside the streaming, but it would have to be after all the episodes would have come out. So you do the episodic format, and then after that, when everything's out, then you can do like a limited theatrical release either through Fathom Events or do their own version and let people see it all at once.
No, and I agree with that 100%. I think that, again, the potential is limitless, and we saw what we did with SnyderCon last year. Obviously, a different world, but there is a potential. There is a pathway to a limited screening of the whole thing together in IMAX in the way Zach wants. Appreciate it. And so it's weird because, you know, when you look at it, the overall kind of thing of, we go back to the multiverse, like Fath was talking about, the idea that one does not invalidate the other. I think Zion made this point pretty well. I mean, it's kind of like you can have a coexisting of these characters now, especially with how big time Ben Affleck and Robert Pattinson are. I mean, they're big time actors. They're not like jokes. They've done so many things in their own right. And we saw from the trailer, just like, let's just be honest, like when the Batman trailer dropped and we watched it, I literally had like a fever that night. And even then I'm like, yo, this is something crazy. Like, and we were all just like, yo, like even the point of the realism, like we were talking a lot about this idea of, you know, the eye makeup, you know, that comes under actors and, you know, in actual movies, you know, when the mask comes off, there's no eye makeup because, you know, they got to keep, you know, the Hollywood feel, you know, of the actor. But for this guy with Matt Reeves, like the grit he's putting into the movie, like you saw when he's taking the mask off and you see that one shot of Robert Pattinson, you literally see it. Like it's like war paint, you know, under his eyes that shows that, you know, this is like, wild. Yeah, this is going to be like a muddy, dark, gritty, dirty Batman. Like he's the kind of Batman that is not going to be playing around. Like it's going to be very like down to earth.
He killed that guy, yo. He killed that guy in the trailer. I don't care what anyone
said. Well, if he didn't, he put him in the hospital for a long time.
He killed him.
He just trying to feed his family, man.
he's doing what he can. Or Batman has to come through and, you know, do things, you know. Like, well, the joke with Arkham, you know, like he's like breaking people's minds in that game. Is like, it, I don't know, man. But yeah, I agree. That BVS, I mean, let's talk about BVS. Like that opening night. I mean, we coordinated our watch times, and when we came out, what did we go to sleep that night? We were just up all night talking about it.
It was good. I'm laughing at Samir because he's just like weird.
What? Talk about that opening night.
it was pretty wild.
I mean, it was.
I mean, me and Samir. I know that me and Samir kind of saw, like, we saw some of the, TV spots. Like we saw,
yeah.
I think we saw one or two, but, I think when we were in the movie, like, the kind of like the feel of the crowd, like the, and Ottawa's quiet. Like Ottawa's theaters are not like, you know, New York or like any big city. Like usually, I think Avengers: Infinity War, people were like shook and going crazy. Especially at the end, and Batman v Superman had a couple moments where the even in little Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, people got loud. So Obviously, the one big one was the Wonder Woman reveal. Just the way that was done, man, and like the people got loud in the theater, and then people got real quiet after you know, Superman tried, you know, save the world. So
yeah, for us as well.
I remember all of us talking that night for like hours about what we just saw, and that was a theatrical cut that a lot of people were like, oh, you know, Ultimate Edition is like a million times better, and it is better, you know, but even what we got in the theater was really was wild.
What do you guys think was the loudest experience like ever in a theater, like sitting? Do you guys remember, like, what's the loudest experience, like we were sitting and watching something?
Samir, did we watch Harry Potter together, the last one?
Yeah, we did.
Was that loud? Do you remember if that was loud?
I don't even remember. I remember when...
Go ahead.
When they were getting the Soul Stone. That was pretty loud. When what's the stage up?
Avengers Endgame in Times Square was loud. And that was like a midnight
screen. Yeah, that was pretty loud.
Yeah, that was loud because obviously loud. Endgame, yeah, you're... And that was actually not in the biggest room because we could not get the tickets on time. Because we were, what were we doing? We were doing something, but we couldn't get the tickets on time, so we came.
It was a week of our hospital charity event, and you know, Umar Samir here in New York City, and yeah, I don't know why we usually book it like a month in advance, but obviously, Endgame was like the biggest show in like years, so those tickets went like something else, and we just booked anything we could for that Thursday night, and we got like a 11 p.m. screening in Times Square, and even then, like, everybody was going wild in the room and the big scenes. Like
every seat was filled.
Yeah.
Every single seat was filled and it was wild.
In Ottawa, I think the biggest we've ever experienced probably is Avengers Infinity War. Also the anxiety that people had, like when it looked like Thanos was basically going to kill Tony. I've never felt that for any other kind of like thing.
Yeah. I was in the press screening and I was sitting next to, it was Kevin Smith. So he was sitting next to me on the, in the press screening for Infinity War, and Healy screamed out literally like really basically cursed out when Tony got stabbed at the first time. And I was like, this is like a live experience. And you felt that. I think Star Wars was pretty loud also. That main scene where they were calling for the Millennium Falcons. They were saying the Falcons coming in episode 9 at the end. And the whole army came and the main Star Wars music played for one last time for the 9 movies. That had the theater loud. When we were watching, But
I'm pretty sure when Thor landed in Wakanda, it was
that was oh insane. Yeah, that yeah. was wild.
Yeah,
that was
and really what's funny? Wild. You the four of us were in New York the second or third week, and still it was loud then. Like it was loud. We were watching it locally, like just in a local theater. Just let's watch it one more time together. It was loud then too. So yeah, there's a lot of these small experiences which are loud. You know what was a loud experience? It was not an official theatrical experience. Watching the sneak peek 30 minutes of Spider-Verse in Madison Square Garden for that Comic-Con trip. That was loud. Like people were going live for that. So
people were going crazy, yeah.
Yeah, and those are the kind of small experiences I feel like in this, as we wind down our first stream, I think it's something that's going to be something we talk about because there's so many small moments that we don't get to fully discuss in our normal segment, which is only 15 minutes. We're very focused on the news or focused on getting our opinions out there in 2 minutes. I think with this stream, you'll be able to see a little more inside peek because there's a lot of fun stuff that we did, let's say watching Joker during the press screening, the conversations we had with certain executives and people afterwards and things that were the fears that were going on with that. I think that would make a great show for next week to talk about the fears surrounding Joker, especially when it comes to people thought it'd get violent when Joker came out. And people were scared to go to the movie theaters. I remember that. That week, there was like a general uneasiness. People were like, oh, should we even go watch Joker?
Todd, what if something happens? Remember how like...
Yeah, we saw the squad team like standing in front of the premiere.
Right. Literally, yeah, people with huge machine guns standing in front of the theater in New York. That was for the gala. That was for the Joker gala where the whole cast was coming, so it was extra security. But you had like just people were lined up, like they walking into like an army, like, yo, what's going on?
It was a different feel.
It was different. It was different because you could compare like me and Charles went to Detective Pikachu premiere and that had Ryan Reynolds and all these people there, and there was like almost there was basically no security. I mean, I don't know where they were plain clothes, but for Joker, there were literally like militarized people standing everywhere because that's just what the news cycle and everything built. The hype people are on that, oh, this is a very dangerous movie or this will incite violence in some way or another. So everybody was trepidatious about going to see it. And for those reasons, they had increased security like more than ever almost. And it actually puts things into perspective because, you know, we were talking about how like all our theater experiences with first the Spider-Verse preview in Madison Square Garden and then with Avengers, all these things, like you take it for granted because now the way like the world is, will we even ever go back to that? I mean, so many people packed in one room like that. Is that even possible in the near future? Maybe 2022, who knows? Yeah. I mean, the vaccines are coming out soon. We don't know. The outlook is very different. And like, you know, once you look back, like, oh, that's what we had. Will we ever get that again?
I'm happy that, go ahead.
Yeah. Before we wind down, I know we're going to wind down. I got to say, yo, Joker's a goat. Like Joker the character. For me is the
as a character or the movie?
The movie.
I mean the character is up there. The character's up there too.
I mean if I got that picture, it would have been it. But
you mean the Joker picture with Joaquin Phoenix and Rooney Mara?
Yep.
Let's save that for, I think we're gonna save that story for next week. I think some stories there with exactly what's going on, but we're definitely gonna wind down. Appreciate you coming and watch it and checking in with us. We appreciate all you guys. This is the first one. We're going to get some bigger stuff with bigger guests. But to end this, because this all started with where is the streaming? Where is the theatrical market going? I think Zion ended at a very somber note. Like, when are we going to have the experience we had with the four of us watching Joker in a theater where people are freaking out if something's going to happen? Like, that's how crowded it was. That, and we were watching with NBA players. Like, that was like DeAndre Jordan was walking in, Knicks players, Nets players. Like, it was such a surreal experience, and we were packed, like, tight. Now that's not even a thing. Like, they're 6 feet apart. It's different. Like, even when we went to watch Tenet, it was just different. So it wasn't the same thing. But next week, let's talk about Joker. Let's talk about some more experiences. We're sitting next to Joaquin Phoenix watching the movie. So there's some cool stories we have that we haven't fully gotten into, but we'll be getting in. We appreciate you guys. If you tune in for next week, we're going to have some fun with it. And listen, the guests are coming through. That's all I'm going to say. They're coming through. They're coming through in a big way. So be ready for that. If you guys have anything to say, please let us know in the comments below. You want to join the debate? You want to be built different like the Faruqi Bros, you know what it is. You got to come through. Come through for our streams. It's going to be fun. A lot of cool stuff on the way. This is the tip of the iceberg. Next week, we're going to get some people on our team on board. We're going to get some new stuff going on. And then eventually, we're going to have some surprises for you because there's some stuff. We're in the lab. We're cooking. That's all I'm going to say. All right. From myself, from Zion, from Umar, and from Samir, we're the Faruqi Brothers. And we'll see you next time. Peace out.